is a message that I preached a long time ago. I'm going to go back and preach it again, but it's going to be a little different. I've added some verses. I've taken some verses out of it, so it'll be different than you remember. But it's entitled, I Am. What we'd like to look at tonight, which I feel very inadequate to do, is to preach about the God, about our God. That's the great I Am that we serve. And we look at that and you may say, well, what does that mean? What does God mean when He says in His Word? Well, turn, if you will, to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. And you know the Scripture here that the Lord is talking to Moses. Here, Moses is standing before the burning bush, and Moses is given all kinds of reasons why he shouldn't go to Egypt to take Israel out. And the Lord keeps telling him, this is what you did, you know, I'll be with you. Just as we do whenever we're giving the Lord excuses why we shouldn't do a thing the Lord tells us to do, He hammers down every one of our excuses. And that's what the Lord's doing. And Moses says, well, they're not going to believe me. What am I supposed to do? In verse 14, or read verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is His name? What shall I say unto them? Says, Lord, how do I tell them you sent me? Verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day You've given to us, Lord. And we thank You for Your Word. We thank You most of all, Lord, for Your salvation. Lord, You freely saved us, Lord. And thank You for Your church You've placed us in. Lord, and just we thank You for the message we've heard today so far, Lord. And just continue to bless in it. Lord, and be with Your words that goes out tonight, Lord. You would use it to mold and make us as You want us to be. Help us to... just help us, Lord, to surrender our lives to You, Lord. And Lord, that we would allow You to work in our lives and You mold and make us as You want us to be. Lord, and save those tonight that are lost, Lord, and help us be witness to them as we ought to be. Be with the prayer request been mentioned in men's and women's prayer class. Lord, just guide me and bless in those things. In Jesus' name, pray and ask these things. Amen. So Moses asked the Lord, who do I say sent me? And He says, I am that I am. You tell them, I am has sent you. So when Moses goes there and he talks to the children of Israel, he tells them that, I am has sent me. What does God mean by I am? I mean, what does He mean when He says I am? And I have a very few things written down here that says what God is, what He means when He says I am. God is my shield. He is my creator. He's the judge. He's the example. He's the protector, He's the Savior, and He's mercy. That's some of what He means when He says, I am. Because that's what He is, all these things wrapped up in one. God is everything that we need. God is the supreme being. There's no being, there's no ruler over Him. He's it. He's the top. He's it. And I have written down here, this can all be said by God just saying, I am. All of that, what I just said, He can say by saying, I am. Because He is. You think about everything that we need. Everything that we need from God, He is. He is. He is the great I am. What is He to us? We may look at that and think, you know, God is such a big subject. When you try and get your hands around, or get your mind around. At work, I don't like making decisions until, or even talking about something a whole lot until I can get my head wrapped around it, until I can understand what's going on. You know, superintendent calls me up and tells me, look, I want you to meet me in this room. And I want to show you what we got going on. Okay, I meet him in there. He shows me what's going on. He leaves. I stay and I study what's going on. What I have to do. Because how am I supposed to explain what we have to do plumbing-wise, that someone else is going to have to do the work if I don't even know what we're supposed to do. I can't do it. And so when you study about God, you don't get finished. I mean, you can't get your head wrapped around it. You can't understand it completely because God is so massive. When He says, I am, He's right. When you study I am, I wrote down some numbers here on the back of this. In the Bible, the Lord says, I am the Lord. That phrase, 116 times. That's where it says, I am the Lord. He says, I am the Lord your God, 33 times. He says, I am the Lord thy God, 7 times. I am the Lord their God, 6 times. He says, I am God, 9 times. And He says, I am the Almighty God, 1 time. And I am God Almighty, 1 time. So, and that's as far as I got with looking that up. I'm going through and looking all these things up. But it's really neat to see what the Lord is to us. If you was to go to your computer, or if you was to take your Bibles down, I go to my computer and punch in a Bible program, I am, and you print that out, in print 10, you'll have 60 pages of I ams that are printed out there. About 40 of those are where the Lord says I am. So, He says a lot of what He is in the Bible. A lot. He tells us over and over again that He is the Lord. He is our Lord. He's our Jehovah. He is. What is He to us? Let's go through these just for a little bit here. God is my shield. It's the first one. He is our shield. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. Lord, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You may say, well, that's talking to Abraham there. Yeah, it is, but it's in the Bible, it's for me too. He is my shield as well. He is my shield. You think, okay, what does that mean? You just think about what a shield is for. A shield protects. A shield is something that when you go into battle, when you go into war, or you think about the SWAT teams that go in and buildings and things like that, our military, they have shields that they have, a full body shields they can hold in front of them that things cannot penetrate. They hold that in front of them, they're protector. They keep the armory from getting to them, from hurting them. A shield is the first defensive weapon. I mean, to blocking. That's what it is. You look in the Bible a little bit deeper and you'll find out that shield is our faith. And that's what it tells us. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. The Lord is our shield. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The Lord is our faith. He's our shield, is what He is here. God is our shield. And He says that we have faith. We have faith in what? The shield? We have faith in the armory? We have faith in the Lord. We have faith in He's the one that protects us. He's the one that keeps the devil from getting to us, the fiery darts of the wicked from getting to us. It's the Lord that puts a hedge about us. You remember when Satan went before the Lord and the Lord said what? Have you considered my servant Job? And what did Satan say? Well, I can't get to him. My paraphrasing, you built a hedge about him. What is that? It's a shield that He's put around Job to protect him. That's what He does for us. When we follow His word and we're in His will, He puts a shield around us to protect us. And then you dig a little bit deeper in this and you'll find out about the shield. But the shield is also a breastplate. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." We think, well, wait a minute. We find a contradiction here. No, because what does the breastplate do? The breastplate does the same job as the shield. Okay, you think about it. The breastplate is the shield is something you hold in your hand. The breastplate is also a protector in the same area that protects the protects you from the fiery darts. The Lord is the one that our trust is in. He's our shield. Okay, it's the Lord's armor that we need to wear when we go into war. You might say, but I don't go to war. Yeah, you do. Every day you wake up, you enter into it. You only have to wake up. How many times you're sleeping there at night and you're in a war in your dreams. Try not to dream those things you don't need to dream. Think about those things you don't want to think about. I mean, we are in a war. And the Lord is our shield. He's the one that protects and keeps us. What I found that it's a help to me, Lord willing, to be a help to you, pray that, Lord, You control my thoughts. You control my mind. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm not very good at it. I'm really not. The Lord needs to control those things. God is our Lord. That's what He is. He's our Lord. Look at Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2. And we told you that the Lord says this phrase 116 times. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2. We're not going to go through all those 116. We're going to read one. Okay? We'd be here a long time. Actually, the phrase, "I am the Lord," is mentioned 162 times. But when it's just, "I am the Lord," that's 116 times. Otherwise, "I am the Lord, your God," "I am the Lord, thy God." That way, that's, and you add all those up, it comes out to 162 times that that's mentioned. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2. Let's read verse 1. Then said the Lord unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." And God spake unto Moses, and He said unto him, "I am the Lord." I am the Lord. He is the Lord. He is our Lord. That's what He is to us. He is our Lord. And if you notice that word Lord there, in my Bible it's all capital letters. It's not a capital L, little O-R-D. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's what it is, because He is our Lord. He's our Jehovah. He's our God. He's our protector, our shield. And inside all this, that He is our Lord, there's more to it than just saying that He's our Lord, because there's a lot more that He does. He's our healer. He's the one that takes care of us. Looking at Exodus, there's a lot of verses here to turn to, so just to let you know that. Exodus chapter 15. Because when you start looking in the Bible to find out what the Lord is, there's an abundance of scriptures. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Sing. Starting verse 25, I do believe here. And he cried, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. What's going on here? The Israelites have just came out of the Red Sea. They just walked through the Red Sea. And it's not been just a few days. 3 days. They went 3 days in the wilderness after they walked through the Red Sea. 3 days. Okay? And then they come up on water, and it's bitter water, and they start murmuring and complaining. Now, would you think, of course we would all would think, how can they possibly forget walking through mountain of the Red Sea on dry ground and seeing the water split? You walk through it, millions of people walking through it, turn around and see it fall down on their enemy and see it drown all their enemy. You would think you would remember that, right? Well, we don't need to judge him too quickly because there's things that happen in our life and sometimes less than 3 days we forget. We forget what the Lord has done for us. Okay? So that's what's going on here. And so the Lord showed Moses a tree in which he had cast into the waters. The waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will do which is right in his and will do which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." There's another place "I am the Lord" is mentioned. He's the Lord that healeth us. He's the one. Yeah? So we don't need to go to doctors anymore then, do we? No, we still need to go to doctors. Because the Lord's the one that heals us. But He also uses things, don't He? He uses things. He uses the doctors and He uses medication sometimes. The Lord can heal us. But He is the one we're trusting, and we're not trusting in the doctors. We're not trusting in the medication. We're trusting in the healer. We're trusting in the Lord. God is also the one that sanctifies us. He's the one that sets us aside, sets us apart. Look at Exodus chapter 31 and 13. Exodus chapter 31. Let's start in verse 12. Exodus 31 and verse 12. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you." He's the Lord that sanctifies us, that sets us aside. He's the one. And you say, "Well, wait a minute, I thought we set ourselves aside for His service." Well, whenever we follow Him, when we do what He tells us to do, His will is our will. His desires is our desires. What's happening? Our lives are being set aside. Our lives are being set apart from the world. He sets us apart first. He sanctifies us. You know, I've told you the example that I like, this example of sanctification. I think it's a neat one. I see it all the time at work. I see it all the time in my plumbing field. I see it. That whenever we have what we call a bone pile. That's what we call it, to put all our fittings in, all our pipe and fittings and all that in one room. And I go up and I get a material list for a room. I put the number of that room on my material list, and I go down to that room and I get a box of fittings. I get a box and I start filling it full of fittings and pipe. Or not pipe in a box, just fittings in the box. I am sanctifying those fittings for that job, for that room, and I put that paper in that box. Every fitting in that box is for this room. Don't take any fittings out of this box. They're already set aside. That's what they are. Because they're set aside for room, if it's room 323, that's what room they're set aside for. They're going to be used in that room, not 322. 323. That's what the Lord has done for us. He set us aside for a work. He set us apart for a work. And then when we start serving Him, we dedicate our lives to Him, and we sanctify our lives that way. God is holy. He is holy. Look in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44. Lord says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." The Lord is holy. And because the Lord is holy, He says that we should be holy as well. We should sanctify ourselves. We should set ourselves aside for His service. Dedicate our lives to Him. We do pray a lot of times, right? We pray. And I've heard almost, I think, all the men pray this prayer. And I pray this prayer. And I wonder sometimes if we even know what we're praying. Because before we eat, we pray. Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. And use our bodies for Your service as You see fit. We all pray that prayer, right? Are we willing for that to truly happen in our lives? I like to think I am willing. I do. I like to think I am willing for that to happen. But then the Lord gives us something to do. Oh, but Lord, are we really willing? If we're going to make excuses, that means we're not really willing. He's the one that's holy. And we are to sanctify our lives, to set our lives apart for Him. Lord, whatever You want me to do, You tell me and I'll do it. I don't care what it is. You tell me and I'll do it. It's what we need to do. I have a guy working for us last week. And Mike Hicks, our laborer, didn't have any work to do, so John sent him out there to me. Said, "Use him any way you can." I asked him, said, "What all do you know how to do?" "You tell me to do it, and you show me how, and I'll do it. Don't care." I like people like that. I really do. That he's willing to do anything. Anything at all. And that's the way we need to be for the Lord. Willing to do whatever He wants us to do. He is our Lord. And He's much more. There's not enough time to go over all the verses and talk about what all He is to us. There's just not enough time. And some of the verses, and you can look up verses in the Bible that say, "I am the Lord," and find out what He is. But there's verses that don't say that "I am the Lord" that tells us otherwise what He is. He uses other words. It's all through the Bible. It's filled. The Lord is also our Creator. He's the one that created us. He's the one. Look, when you know these Scriptures very well, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. This is something that a lot of the school kids, you look at the some of the first verses they get are some of these. That's a foundation that we need to know. We need to believe. It needs to be firm in us, in our minds, in our hearts, that God is the Creator of this world. He's our Creator. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." It wasn't a big boom. It wasn't all the different things, whatever. I don't even know what they all are. I don't pay attention to them a whole lot of evolution. I don't pay attention to it. But God is the one that created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that spoke them into existence. He's the one. Look in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2. It talks here about the Lord creating man and woman, male and female. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2 says, let's start in verse 1. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created." He created man and woman. The Lord did. He's our Creator. He is it. He's the one. Tell you, I'm not here by mistake. I'm not here by accident. I was not born to my parents by accident, not just happenstance. I wasn't just lucky. There's a reason I was born to my parents. You're here for a reason. Next thing God is to us, besides our Creator, He's our judge. We'll stand before Him one day. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord." What Paul's saying there is, I'm doing what God tells me to do, and if you don't like it, I'm not really going to worry about it. Because the one I'm worried about is pleasing the Lord. That's the one He's worried about. That's the one He wants to serve. Oh, if we're worried about what everybody else thinks about us, or worried about what everything else, we're not going to serve the Lord. We need to serve the Lord and follow Him. And that's what all of us want to do. God is also our example. He's our example. You know, we need to follow Him. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says here, I'm just going to read this one verse here. Maybe we'll read verse 22 also. Verse 21, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. We should serve the Lord. We should follow Him. He's our example. So, we have many examples before us. We have encouragement all around us. Especially in this church, we have a lot of encouragement here. We have people that have been here for years, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I say that very respectfully to the older people of the church that have lived their life for the Lord and have a reputation of wanting to serve the Lord. And it's an encouragement to me. It's an example to me. And we've said it before that y'all are examples. But I also want to say that you're not the one I put my faith in. You're not the example I put my faith in. The example I put my faith in is in the Lord. And you know that. And nobody here wants to be. I cringe at the thought of being an example. I don't want to be. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to be. If somebody says, "You're my example," I about want to run and hide. Because I know me. And I want them to be a lot better than me. What I want to do is point them to the example that I'm trying to follow. And that's the Lord. That's the one we put our trust in. But we do need to remember that as we're following Him, just as Paul said, he wrote, I can't remember where it's at. I should, but I can't. Where he said, "You follow us as we follow Christ." That's what we're to be doing. We're to be following the Lord. Just as the older ones here in the church are, they're following the Lord. And they're examples to us, not to walk the way they're walking, but to follow the one they're following. That's the example. That's it. And we're to follow the Lord. He's also my Savior. You might say, "Well, wait a minute, Christ is my Savior." Well, I can take you to the verse of Scripture and show you that my Father and I are one. God is my Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He's our Savior. God is our Savior. It says right there, commandment of God our Savior. He's the one that saved us. He's the one our trust is in. He's the one our faith is in. He's the one that protects us, that keeps us. Our Savior is the one that's the great I Am. And it's also God is our hope. And it's the same verse right here. Because the last part of this verse says, which is our hope. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He's where our hope is at. He's where, and it's not a hope of, oh, I hope, wringing of the hands of hope. It's a sure hope. We know that the Lord is the one that's going to do this. We know this. He's the one we can trust in. He's the one that's unchanging. He's the one that will always be these things. He'll always be our hope. He'll always be our Savior, our example, our judge, our Creator. He'll always be our shield. He'll always be the great I Am. Always. God is also mercy. God is also merciful. Look in Psalms chapter 116. Psalms 116. And verse 5. Psalms 116 and verse 5. God is merciful to us. Verse 5 of Psalms 116 says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Aren't you glad He's merciful? Aren't you glad? He's a judge. He's our judge. But He's a judge that right now has mercy. He's merciful. He's full of mercy. And I thank the Lord for that. That He's that way. God is gracious. Not only is He full of mercy, but He's also gracious. Look in Exodus chapter 22. I know I'm going over these very quickly and not in very much depth, but we'll let you go over them in depth. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 27. Let's let's start in verse 26. If thou will all take thy neighbor's, if thou will at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep, and it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. The Lord is listening. The Lord is ready to hear our prayers, our concerns, our needs. So we pray and ask the Lord to help us. You think about this just for a minute. And if I understand this correctly, the Lord answers our prayers, don't He? The Lord does. And if I'm understanding this right, if we take something from someone else and they pray to the Lord's going to hear. if I'm understanding it right, and we're the ones that are in the wrong. I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to be there that someone else is praying about me doing something to them. I don't want to be in that position. None of us do. It's kind of like when we were kids and you were doing something wrong and your little sister or your little brother or your older brother or older sister went and told mom and dad. You didn't want to be that one getting told on because you knew you were wrong. But this is a lot more than that. But the Lord is gracious. He's listening. He cares about what goes on with us. And lastly here, and just think about this, of all the things, we can just sort of kind of get an idea of what the Lord is to us. Of all the things, the massive that He is. That He's huge. He holds the world in the palm of His hands. I mean, in all the things He done to the Egyptians and the soothsayers there finally said, with the, I think it was with Elias, that this is the finger of God. The finger of God. I mean, we can't do a whole lot with our finger, but the Lord ripped a nation. He just tore a country apart with His finger. You know, and I mean, He uses the world, the earth, as a footstool. He looks down on us as grasshoppers. He's huge. He's so magnificently big. I don't know. The words aren't there. But with all that, God is with me. When you think about it, how powerful He is. And God is with me. Look at Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Lord says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I like that. That the Lord is going to be there, but not... Now, it's great to know that we don't have to fear, because the Lord says, "For I am with thee." He's with us. Don't be dismayed, for I am thy God. The Lord's our God. He's the one that's going to strengthen us. He's the one that's going to help us. But you look at this last part. He says, "Yea, I will uphold thee. I'll hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness." He's not going to use our righteousness. Aren't you thankful? He's going to use His, not mine. Because what is our righteousness? There's filthy rags. The Lord is using His righteousness. The Lord is with us. The Lord's with me. He says a few times in His Bible, that in the Word, that "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." When we're in trouble, when we're in turmoil and tribulations and afflictions, we've been reading through Psalms 119 for devotions, and see there where that David is in afflictions, or where we're at right now, and he cries out to the Lord, "Save me." And he says there one part that I would have been destroyed if I hadn't remembered you and your word. And I'm paraphrasing there because I can't remember exactly how it reads. But that's what the Lord is to us. He's with us, although as massive as He is, as powerful as He is. I mean, you think about it. We have a president, okay? Very powerful. Does He know you by name? He doesn't know me. If He saw me on the street, I'd probably recognize Him. He wouldn't know me from nobody. He wouldn't know me. And you just think about that. The Lord, how much more powerful is the Lord? And I was thinking this morning as about the seasons and things like that, the ones that I got mixed up. And I was thinking about the farmers and all who plant their ground. And the Lord's established it. The God that we serve, the great I Am, is the one that every seed that's put in the ground, He makes sure it does what it's supposed to. He makes sure that it dies and then germinates. He makes sure that the Lord, every seed, every plant that grows, every tree that grows, every flower, every blade of grass. When you think, can you get your head wrapped around a God that's in control of everything that does everything? I mean, He is. He's in control of it. And when He said, can you imagine trying to explain, God trying to explain who He is with all that? So instead, you know what He says? I am. And that says it. I am. I am that I am. He is the Lord. He is the great I Am. He's everything that we need. We serve. We don't serve someone that's, we don't serve a Lord that's afar off. We don't serve a Lord that we have to go to a certain place to pray. We don't serve a God that doesn't know about our afflictions. But we serve a God that knows and that cares. And not only does He care and know about our afflictions, He's powerful enough to take care of the situations. That's the God that we serve. That's the great I Am. Tell you, it ought to, in a way, studying this, restudying this, it excites me, but it does something else also. I began to understand a little bit more about when the Lord says, fear the Lord. Because of all that He can do, He wants us to come boldly. We come boldly to Him. But there's a little part in there that fears because of His power and His might. And whatever He does, He's just in doing. He does not make mistakes. And He's right in what He does. And that's the God that we serve. Lord, willing us to be a blessing to you and a help. I know it wasn't a message to the lost, but the God that can save you is the great I Am. He is. He's my Savior, and He can save you just like He saved me. Just like He saved every saved person here. We've all been saved. We may have different, a little bit different testimonies, but we all came as a sinner. We all come to Him confessing our sins, and He saved us. Just like He'll save you. Believe on Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attention.